Hey, we want to welcome you to City Church Online. And before we get into what we're going to be doing today, we thought it'd be good to open up today with a word of prayer. So Obi's going to start us off, and then I'll pray as well.
All right. Join us in prayer wherever you guys are at, wherever you're watching. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, Lord, here online, wherever we are, if we're at our home or in our car or watching on our phone or on a laptop, God, we want to come before you and put our hearts in the right place, Lord. God, we just lift up the situation that the globe is experiencing, Lord. Lord, we know that you are the one that holds the entire world in your hand. Mm-hmm. And so, God, we just ask that your spirit of peace would fall upon us, that your spirit of calmness would fall upon us, your spirit of truth would fall upon us, Lord. And let us trust and rest in you, that you got this. You got this all under control. And so we come to you now. Would you speak through the words that are going to be said? Would you open up our hearts to hear exactly what you want us to hear? In Jesus' name.
And Lord, right now, I want to specifically pray for our church, those that call City Church home. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a time when all of us could cling to one another, even if digitally, and stay connected with each other, build up one another as you've called us to do in your word, as you say that we should not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Thank you, Lord, that we can continue to have that routine, that custom in our hearts, and celebrate that. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would get something from you during this time. So we pray, Lord, the same thing we pray every time, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see from your word, that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear, and that you would open our hearts today, that we would respond and become the disciples you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
So obviously we're doing church different. And so what we want to do during this time is we want to make this a worship service just as if you were coming here in the building and praising the Lord with your fellow believers. And so what's going to happen is you're going to get an email the night before or maybe early in the morning with a link to a YouTube video that's going to go live at 9:09 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's going to be a premiere event. And so once it goes live, we'll all be watching it together at the same time. And it'll also go live on Facebook at the same time. So you can hop on either place, YouTube or Facebook. And we want to encourage you to comment, interact, participate, just as if you were here in the room, so to speak. And for those of you who normally come at 11:11, the video will already be up and live, but you can still comment and interact just as if you were here at that time. And so we want you to really just own this as church, just as if you were here. It's going to be a great time.
Amen to that. Yeah. I would encourage you guys to treat this like an event, just like you're getting up and walking into the church doors. You know what, man, set up your TV so you can Chromecast this thing or you know, put this on your laptop, gather around with your family or whoever's in your household, and so you can watch this live event that happens. We're going to be here. We'll be commenting back. We'll be engaging with you guys. So it's not like we're separated. We're still all together. We're separated by distance, but we can all still meet together online. Thank God for technology.
What a great day it is to live in this day and age. As we transition to our topic today, as I was thinking about what the Lord would have to say to our church in light of everything that's been going on, I really felt impressed on my heart that we actually have the perfect testimony of what God would want to say right here on City Church's pastoral staff. In fact, around the time that we were talking to Obi about coming on staff, he went through something very similar. And I need to clarify, because some people might send an email and wonder, Obi is not under any kind of medical isolation today. This was in 2016, however, 4 years ago now. So he is good to go. Yeah. If you've been around him, you're safe. I just had to get that out there. But Obi, tell us what happened in your life in 2016.
Yeah, you know, it's very applicable and relatable to what's going on now, as you know, the government suggesting that everybody practice social distancing and a type of isolation. I went through this same type of thing, even more so with what happened in 2016. I'm all good now. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm healthy. I'm great. But in 2016, this is what I went through. Before I was on staff full-time here at City Church, I was a musical missionary. So I was a musician that was traveling the world as a missionary with a group called Christafari. It's a Christian reggae band. And what we would do is set up concerts and preach the gospel. And so we did this all around the world. We went to tons of third world countries from Africa to El Salvador and Guatemala to the South Pacific and Papua New Guinea. And when we were in Papua New Guinea, I ended up contracting a disease. And I got really sick on this missions trip over there. And I developed a cough, and this cough just got worse and worse. It lingered. It didn't go away. And it got really, really bad.
At what point did you realize that you really had a problem?
So as we were in Papua New Guinea, and this cough had just developed and got increasingly bad, we ended up going to a few different countries on this missions trip. By this time, it was probably 3 weeks later, we were in Samoa. It was our last night, and we were getting ready to go home after this long missions trip, and our flight gets canceled. The rain took out all the lights on the runway, and so they said, "You guys, we need to fix the lights. You guys can't leave." So we had to get a hotel. It was in this hotel that I was coughing, and I ended up spitting out some blood, and that freaked me out because I saw Tombstone, and I remember Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday, and Doc Holliday started spitting out blood, and that was kind of freaky, right? And so so I remember, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, dude, this is not good. So I spit it in the toilet bowl of this hotel room, and it just kept on flowing, and I kept on coughing up more blood and more blood till it filled up the toilet bowl with blood. And it scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
It was freaky. And my wife was with us at the time, and I didn't want her to see this so she wouldn't get freaked out. So I flushed the toilet real fast. I'm like, no, everything's fine over here. When it really wasn't. And so I knew there was something really, really wrong. And so I had we tried to go to a doctor there in Samoa, and man, thank God for our medical system here in America. We are blessed, because I remember trying to find a hospital out there in Samoa, and there's like a little hut with like a line of like 30 people out there. They're like, we're not going to be able to see you for another 8 hours. And I'm like, no, I need to go now. And so by that time, we ended up getting another flight. We had a connecting flight to New Zealand. I tried to find a hospital there to go to, and they looked at me. They said, you're fine. It's all right. So by the time we got home here in the States, I knew I wasn't okay. And so we went to a doctor, and they found out that I had active tuberculosis. And so that's what I ended up contracting, is active tuberculosis. Now, a lot of people, they hear tuberculosis, like, they don't even bat an eye about it. Like, you're fine, tuberculosis. What some people don't realize is that active tuberculosis, there's two kinds. There's active and inactive. Active tuberculosis is the number one infectious disease killer in the world.
Wow.
10 million people get it every single year. And last year alone, 1.5 million people died from active tuberculosis. So that's like, imagine the entire LA basin catching a disease and dying from, catching a disease. That's like 10 million people dying, you know, catching it. And every day, 1.5 million people died last year. So that's like every day, 4,000 people dying from this disease. That's current. That's right now. So, it's really bad. It is a 15% death rate to it. So that's like, you know, if 20 people get it, 3 people are going to die. So by far, it is incredibly dangerous. And that's what I ended up getting. And so I know there's a lot of fear with the coronavirus. It's very bad. But this, what I ended up getting was 5 times worse than that. And so, so we got back to the States. They said, hey, you have active tuberculosis. Go to quarantine. And so I had to live in quarantine. Kind of what's going on now. You got to live in isolation. You want to the social distancing thing. They wanted me to do that. They said, don't be around people. You cannot be around people. You have a very infectious disease and it's deadly. And so I was in quarantine for 48 days. 48 days, I couldn't have contact with people. Now, thank God, my wife was quarantined with me. Mm. But it was amazing. She never got the disease.
And did anyone else on the trip
get it? No one else got it. It was just me. And it just shows that God's in this. Mm. He was, you know, thank God that they didn't catch it when I was in New Zealand. Otherwise, I would have been quarantined there, and it would have been way worse. I was quarantined here and my wife was with me. She didn't get the disease. That speaks wonders about Filipino immune systems. I don't know what kind of vitamins they're taking over there, but she was protected. God protected her and she didn't get tuberculosis either. But I did. Mm. And so I had to go through a month and a half of isolation, 6 month treatment of taking 11 different pills and all that stuff. So it was quite an experience. Mm. But man, looking back on it, there's so many lessons to be learned from it. Hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of fear going around right now. In my opinion, everyone's feeling a little bit of it here and there. And so are you scared of this situation that we're going through right now with the coronavirus?
Yeah. You know, this is a interesting question. I remember you asked me this earlier. Am I afraid of this? And to be honest, no, I'm not. I'm not afraid. I mean, I have a healthy dose of fear, but I'm not afraid of it. Mm. I'm not, because I've lived through something worse. Mm. Now, I understand now there's a lot of fear going around in the world. There's a disease that is that is a pandemic, right? But the fear is causing more of hysteria that's happening. So I actually want to speak on fear a little bit. There's a lot of fear going on. Mm. There's fear that you can turn on the news. There's tons of things to be afraid of, but fear is an interesting thing. Fear is a close relative to worship. This is what I mean by that. You see, worship is ascribing value and worth to something. Mm. So worship is ascribing value and worth to God, right? Mm. Fear is ascribing value and worth to the wrong thing.
That's good.
So, example, there's two types of fear. See, there's a unhealthy kind of fear, and then there's a healthy kind of fear, right? So this unhealthy kind of fear that we're seeing happening right now is ascribing worth to the wrong thing. So, example, some people are afraid of the dark, right? Mm. And so they're ascribing worth and value to the unknown things of the dark. Mm. And what that causes is terror, right? So that's an unhealthy kind of fear. But then on the flip side, there is a healthy kind of fear. Example, if you're ever driving down the road and you see a cop like in a speed trap right there, right? You're going to get a little fear. You're going to get startled. And you're going to pump your brakes a little bit, right? Because you
let off the accelerator. So let off the accelerator, right? Slow down with your brakes.
That is a healthy kind of fear, because you fear, you ascribe value and worth to the authority that this police officer has, right? And so what that a healthy kind of fear causes is reverence. It causes honor and respect. You respect the authority of this cop. He can give me a ticket, you know. Yep. You don't want to do that. And so those are the two types of fear. You got a negative fear and a healthy kind of fear. Now, healthy kind of fear, it'll lead us to worship. That's why in Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And that's the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And it starts with fear. That's the fear that leads to reverence, right? And so what's happening now is people are ascribing fear to the wrong thing. Mm. It's good to have a tiny bit of fear. If you ask me do I have fear about coronavirus, I have a healthy amount of it.
Yes.
Because I understand it, right? And so the key is to ascribe the proper amount of fear to the right thing. Yeah, fear of the Lord brings reverence. Fear of the Lord brings worship. Fear of the wrong things ends up bringing terror. And so what we need to do is understand the right kind of fear. So,
and if the fear of the Lord brings wisdom, and if you're fearing the right things, then God is going to give you the wisdom you need to give the healthy amount of fear to the right thing to prepare adequately and not just go crazy. And
correct.
Last week he joked in his message about Costco selling out of toothpaste. And on my way here, I drove through Costco's parking lot, and this is the day where, you know, everybody's planning and prepping, and I have just never seen that place such a zoo. So there's a lot of unhealthy fear going around. And so I like the way you put that to keep it in the context of the fear of the Lord, having a healthy amount of fear for the right things. So how do we overcome fear in light of everything that people are feeling and what's going on right now?
How do we overcome fear? You know, I love the Bible because the Bible gives us, this is our basic blueprint for living right here. And God lays it out for us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God gave us the spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Now, I love another translation. It says sound mind. He gave us this spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. See, how do you overcome fear? You have a sound mind. And I always say this. Do you know what defeats fear? What defeats fear is familiarity. When you get familiar with something, when you have a sound mind and a proper understanding of something, then fear will be disabled. And so what's happening right now is a lot of people, they don't have a proper understanding or a not sound mind of what's going on now. And so it's causing hysteria and it's building up. But when you get a familiarity of it, if you get a sound mind of whatever it is you're afraid of, then that fear starts to diminish. And so, for example, I was afraid of heights before, right? I would get kind of like scared about heights, right? But you know what happened? I in college, I ended up joining a rock climbing class. And I started, going up the rock climbing wall, and I got familiar with being up high. And as that familiarity became more, I became more accustomed to heights. And so the fear of heights diminished. There's another funny story of rats. Okay, I don't know if you're afraid of rats. Some people got like are just terrified at rats. I used to be terrified.
They're disgusting.
I used to be terrified of rats, right? Until this one moment that happened. When I was probably in my 20s, I went to Hawaii, to the Big Island of Hawaii. I was a missionary there working with the Salvation Army. One of the projects that we had was we had to go to a guy's house. He was a hoarder. And so I don't know if you've ever seen like that show Hoarders, where it's like they just keep everything. And it was like that times 20. It was the worst hoarding scenario that I've ever seen. Everything was just piled to the brim of trash, right? And so we show up to this guy's house with the Salvation Army, and we're there to help. We're like, all right, we're gonna clean out your house. We're gonna make it livable for you. And so it was me and a group of some other people there, and we're gonna go clean this guy's house that was hoarding. All of a sudden, we hear screaming, and all the girls that were with us on this team were running out of the house, yelling and screaming, like, what's going on? And there was only one other guy there with me, and they were like, there's rats in there. And so we're like, oh man. And they're like, we're not going to go in there. We're not going to clean this place. I'm like, that's what we're here for. We got to clean this place. So me and this other guy were like, all right, let's go in there. Let's chase these rats out. And so I was still, I was kind of afraid of rats, right? So we go to this one room, and they pinpointed this one room had all the rats, right? Uh-oh. And so we were like, okay, let's get weapons. And so the only thing we can find were shovels. So we're like, all right, let's go into this place. Let's find these rats. We open up a drawer, and no kidding, like all the rats were just living in this one drawer, and they were like mean rats. And so they looked up at us, and most rats would like scatter or whatever like that. These rats, they looked at us, and they just went, and both of us, we started screaming like girls. We're like, right? And then so we went on a hunt. We locked all the doors. So it was just us two in this room with about 10 different rats, right? And we just took the shovels and we went hunting. So these rats would come out, and then it's really a gruesome story. I'm sorry if you're a rat lover. But
sorry
we,
for the parents with children in the room.
we ended up taking these rats out one by one with these shovels, and we were freaked out. We were screaming like little girls. And I was so afraid of these rats. But I'm telling you, after about like the fifth one that we'd knocked out with these shovels, we started to realize, hey, you know what? These rats are more afraid of us than we are them. And I became familiar with that. And so I began to not fear these rats. Up to this day, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not afraid of rats. I mean, they're gross. I have a healthy fear of them that they're disgusting creatures, you know, clean up the poop and the pee because there's a lot of diseases that they carry. But the fear, because of what I went through, the familiarity of it, I'm not really afraid of rats anymore. Mm. I share that story because I went through something worse than coronavirus.
Yeah.
I had it. I had something that's 5 times more deadly, that's more contagious than coronavirus. And I have a familiarity with this type of disease. Mm. And so when you ask me, am I afraid of it? I have a healthy amount of fear. Mm. I know what needs to be done so that I don't catch it and that I don't give it to other people. And exactly what our government is telling us, and I shared this last week on the sermon, that's how you don't catch it and you don't give it away. Give it. Keep a 6-foot distance from people. Don't touch your eyes, your nose, or your mouth until you properly wash your hands. And if you do those things, you will stay healthy. And that's really what we need to do, is we need to stay healthy right now. And so, yeah, you defeat fear with familiarity, having that sound mind.
That's good. So
I want to encourage everybody to do their research about coronavirus and have a sound mind of this situation. You know, because right now there's mass hysteria going on. Like you're saying, people are buying out toothpaste and toilet paper and all this stuff. Have a proper amount of fear and understand it.
You know, even for myself, one of the things that I'm trying to do right now is to limit the amount of stories I let myself read about it. Because every news article that I hop on, it's the first thing that's there. And whenever I open my phone lately, it's not, let's open the Word. It's, I just search coronavirus. Then I search coronavirus Orange County. Then I search coronavirus Anaheim. And it's like, to an extent, what you put in front of you is what lands in your heart and what continues to build up inside of you. So I do think we should be informed. And so I encourage you to stay up on what's going on. But for me, like, I'm trying to limit it to, okay, maybe once in the middle of the day or the morning and once at night, that's it. And only the information that I need to know as to, can I go here or not, and what's relevant to me.
I want to be clear. I don't want to diminish what the CDC or the government is saying, is suggesting for us to do. I think it's a good move.
Yeah.
I think limiting the social contact that you have with people will stop the spread of this disease. And I agree with what they're doing. But to have if you put too much fear into something, that's when hysteria happens.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, God is not the God of fear. He's the God of peace. He wants you to be at peace. He wants us to be peacemakers. So us as Christians should be the ones that are giving peace and modeling peace to people and letting people know, hey, everything's going to be okay, because we know the God who holds every situation, right? And so, let us be peacemakers. Let's be peace givers, peace dealers.
That's good. So what I want to hone in now on is this idea of living in isolation, because though we are still free to come and go, you know, we don't live in a nation where there's police guards at our door. I know some countries that's happening right now. They're barricaded. They can't leave their places. In our society, that's not the case. And so we can essentially still come and go as we please. But essentially, every government that has been out there has been telling most Americans to self-isolate as much as possible for a while, maybe a good long while. We don't know. Man, that 48-day number, to me, that sounds like it's probably around in the ballpark, if not more. So for those of us, though, who are used to doing whatever we want, whenever we want to, going wherever, however, that's going to be a really hard adjustment. And I want you to talk a little bit about what the actual life in quarantine was like for you, because in reality, though we're not going to be, you know, in a room by ourselves, we're going to be probably at home a lot more and alone, you know, not around some of the circles we normally would be. So tell us, what was life in quarantine actually like?
Yeah. So I spent 48 days in quarantine. Now that's a long time. That's a month and a half. That's a good while of being isolated. And when you're asking me this, I thought of three things that I learned from being in quarantine. And you know, firstly, I contracted the disease. I had it. I had the number one most deadliest infectious disease in the world. And so one thing that I really learned from being in quarantine was this: one, the threat of death puts life into perspective.
Amen.
And man, did it ever put life into perspective for me. I began to ask myself, is what I'm living for worth it? And I think that's a question that that every single person needs to ask themselves. You know, with this threat of this virus that is going around, right? The threat of death is real. I mean, from this virus or just getting hit by a car. But when you think about what are you living your life for, and really, is it worth it? I love this quote from C.T. Studs. He says, there's a stanza in a poem he wrote, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. And that is so true. Mm. Only what is done for Christ is going to last. I love Psalms 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And for me, I had to number my days. I really had to think, man, you know, there's a chance that I might die from this disease. And so when you start to number your days, you really start to get a real good perspective of if you are living your life correctly. I mean, I was able to get a pretty clear idea of who I got contracted tuberculosis from. And that guy, he ended up passing away about less than a year later.
Wow.
And so that's how deadly this disease was. Now, thank God that I didn't. God saved, let me recover from it. Yeah. But man, the threat of death is real in every single person's life. And to have that heart of wisdom, when you number your days and you go, all right, am I really living every single day with the purpose of God in mind? Am I living every single day in a way that would please him, because that's the only thing that matters. Am I living every single day in a way where I am loving the ones that are around me? Because God gave us two simple things to do. Love God and love others, right? If we do those two things, all the laws and the prophets are all summed up into those things. And so am I living my life where I'm loving the person that's next to me? And so it really puts life into perspective. Mm. The second thing that I learned from being in isolation was that God is speaking all the time. You just have to silence the noise so that we can hear him. And you know, at that point in my life, before I had to go through quarantine and experience this isolation, I was running like a madman, going from mission trip to mission trip. Our op tempo was so high when we were with this band, because we were like home for 2 weeks, gone for 3 weeks, home for 2 weeks, gone for another 4 weeks, and we were in and out, and we were running and doing ministry and missions work so much that I didn't even get a chance to think, you know. And there's a point when ministry can actually, if you get out of balance, ministry can, and you know, work for that matter, can end up taking the place of God and fill up those times when you need to really connect with God. And so when I went through isolation, God like sat me down. He was like, all right, you're going to stop. You're going to sit down. And I want you to listen to me, because I'm speaking to you, but you're so busy, you're not listening. And so he made me be still. He forced me to be still. You know, Psalms 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And I was still during that time. And that disruption in my life became a moment when I got to focus in on more devotion to him. And I want to encourage every single person here, everyone that's listening, you know what? We are experiencing a disruption in our life right now. There's disruption in school. Schools are being stopped. Work is being disrupted in certain ways. Our life rhythms are being disrupted. But this can be a time when you go, all right, I'm going to let this disruption in my life be a time when I can focus on more devotion to God. It's really a matter of, are you going to seek it? You know, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And so I promise you, if you seek God during this moment of disruption, he will meet you. And if you are able to silence all the noise that's going on and focus on him, you know, turn off the television, put down the phone and pick up your Bible and read his word. Spend those times in prayer. Get into those alone times. You know, Jesus modeled this for us as he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would meet and pray with the Lord habitually. start creating those rhythms again, and God will meet you there. Mm. And the third thing that I learned from being in quarantine and isolation is God will make all things work together for good. God will make all things work together for good. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. You know, at the time when I got quarantined, it was a bad thing. It was a big problem, right? But when I look back on it now, you know, it's been 4 years now, I look back on it and I see, man, God completely used that problem as an opportunity to pivot me into the right place. And that's exactly what he did. He used that moment as a way to get me exactly where he wanted me to be. You know, every obstacle is an opportunity for improvement. Every obstacle is an opportunity for improvement. And right now, we may find ourselves in an obstacle in our lives. But this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to innovate, to be creative, to see and reconnect and recalibrate our lives. All right, God, where do you want me to be? Is this really where you want me to be? So it's good to take a pause, a breather. And so some of us, we're all forced to kind of take that pause right now.
Yeah.
And so I'd really encourage you guys to let God have this opportunity in your life. And he will lead you to exactly where you need to be. And so this may seem like a big obstacle in everybody's life, but I'm telling you that if you are called and if to God's purposes and you love him, he was going to make every single thing work together for good. And I promise you this, that when we look back at 2020, when Southern California was in isolation, we're going to see that God used that as a way to pivot our church, our lives, into a better place.
And it was around that time, if I'm not mistaken, we had been talking about, hey, Obi, you know, is it time for you to leave the mission field and come do something new? We've been talking about having him full-time join the staff. Yeah. And so, yeah.
And that was the big pivot. God spoke during that time when I was in isolation, and this opportunity to come on full-time staff here at City Church was open, and I really prayed and I fasted about it, and it was in that time of isolation that God confirmed over and over again, because I had my ears listening to him. And every single verse that I read and sermon that I listened to and mentor that I talked to, every single thing was pointing towards transitioning in life and pivoting to a new season. And that brought me to City Church.
Amen.
Where here I could serve as one of the pastoral staff here. And it has been, man, God, when I look back on it, God completely made everything work together for good. Amen. It's a testimony to that.
I hope and pray that God doesn't have to give someone an infectious disease to speak to them. But it's amazing, your heart, that in that space you could find that. And that would be what I would say to everyone watching is, obviously this is a huge thing that has been thrown in our laps and we're trying to wrap our minds around it, figure out what it means for us. But what we know is right now we are in a place where we're isolated more than we would normally be. And so I would encourage you to think of what God wants to speak to you during this time, just like Obi did. And I want to close out reading from Matthew 8, 23-27. And I think it's pretty relevant to where we're at today. Matthew 8, 23, I'll start there. It says, "And when he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he, that being Jesus, was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and calmed the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?'" You know, some of you might be feeling like God is sleeping as the problems of the world unfold around you. Some of you might be feeling like you're perishing, or maybe you could perish. As a nation, I think all of us are asking ourselves the question right now, what if I get this? What if I die from this? You know, we read the mortality rates of the disease, and if it's not us, we think of like people we know who it could negatively affect, our parents, our aunties, our grandparents, or someone else who's close to us who's in that at-risk group that might suffer from it. Let me tell all of us something. I think asking ourselves the question, will I get it, or will they get it, or what's going to happen to me if I get it or if they get it? Let me tell you a few things about that question. Honestly, you don't know the answer anyway. And if it happens, you will ruin the life that you're currently experiencing and having right now and the quality of it. And if it doesn't happen, you're going to stress yourself out. And if you do get it, you know, most people are going to be just fine. So that's really the wrong question, though. See, the right question isn't, am I going to get it? Is my mom going to get it? Is my grandma going to get it? The right question is this: is Jesus in my boat? And if Jesus is in my boat, I'm going to ride this storm out just fine. I think at some point, like Obi mentioned earlier, we all come to the realization that we're going to pass away. And the sobering reality of death is something that puts life into perspective. And so at some point, all of us are going to go home to be with the Lord, whether it's this or something else. See, the whole point of Christianity is that our physical bodies are not eternal, and that eternal life is only available through Christ. So hear me clearly. I can't promise you this with certainty, but I think you're going to be just fine, but in an earthly sense. But don't focus on that situation right now so much. Focus on who's in your boat. You know, it might seem like the rain and the water are building up inside. It might feel like the Lord's not really doing much. Maybe it feels like he's sleeping at the wheel or something. But if the Lord's in your boat, you're going to be just fine. And every once in a while, I get a sense from the Lord that he wants me to relay to people. And with respect to that, on the issue of the coronavirus, I felt the Lord put something on my heart to relay. And so I asked myself a question that was a very strange question to ask. And I started asking myself the question, what are the positives of the coronavirus situation? Now, I'm not making light of it. The situation itself, it's a very horrible disease. But what are some positive things that God could be doing as a result of this? I know that's a weird question to think about. But God gave me a couple, and here was one. If all of the world lost 30% of their money, because people are saying that could be the even bigger issue from the coronavirus, not the virus itself, it's the financial thing that's going to come from it. But if that happened, if all the people in the world lost 30% of their money, but they rediscovered peace in their hearts, and they reconnected with their families for a season of time, would that be such a bad thing for the world? You know, it was Jesus who said, if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul and you lose sight of the things that matter the most, that you've gained nothing. In fact, you've lost what mattered more than anything else. And so think of all that God could do in your life and in your family and in your own soul during this time. Obi alluded to it, but you know, Psalm 23:1, this is another thing that I can see as a positive that the Lord is doing. Psalm 23:1-2 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want toilet paper, toothpaste pileups in my house. It says this, but this is the part I want to hone in on. It says, he makes me lie down. And like Obi said in his own story, that God made him lie down, he made him rest. The Lord is making us lie down right now. And when I think of that story in Matthew 8:23 that we just read, think of what Jesus was doing. He was lying down and he was sleeping and he was perfectly happy in the middle of the storm. And so if I could impart one word to all of us, and I'm speaking this to myself just as much as I am to you, it would be that we can rest in the middle of this storm and we can release the fear that's coming along with it. And if Jesus is there and he's in our boat, we have everything we need. We're going to be just fine. There's a verse in the Bible that says that God's perfect love casts out fear. And so in just a moment, you're going to hear a song that talks about how God's perfect love casts out all fear. Obi, why don't you pray for us and Amen. Transition to the song.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for every obstacle and every blessing that you have put in our life. Lord, would you just take control? Would you, like that verse says, cast out fear that is in our life. Cast out the unhealthy fear, Lord. And give us the proper fear, the fear of you, Lord, that we can trust that you are our Lord, that you are in control. Lord, would you give us your peace? And Lord, we just ask that your peace would fall on every single person's heart that is listening to these words right now, Lord, that your supernatural peace would fall on them. Lord, would you comfort them? Would you assure them that your promises are true, Lord? And would you just be with us in the midst of the storms that we're going through in life? And God, I want to make a special prayer that we would be peacemakers, that we'd be peace givers, Lord, in this world. Lord, we just pray that we just ask that you would let the church rise up in the midst of the panic and the chaos, Lord. And would you let the church rise up to be the pillars of peace that people will look upon and see? And would they look at the Christians around them and say, you know what, you have a peace that's surprising. And would that spark interest into the things of you, Lord? And would you let this opportunity be an opportunity for people to come to know your love and your peace even more? We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.